Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Endless Babble Z, episode 420. I'm Chris Adams, the Ticket Master, joined by
PG Maniaco 5
and Trioptical.
So yeah, we've got so much fun playing. We've got top five games that you need to play. You need to play this game.
Need to. And it's a top five, though.
The news.
I refuse.
Or our top games that you need to play, or whatever RPG's choice words are for that. So yeah, what you been playing? I've been playing same old, same old. Monster Hunter Weekly Thingies. Got the Weekly Thingies. I mean Weekly Limited Bounty Hunts. Jeez, get together, Chris. Besides that, just logging in to get my free stuff every day, like the free item of the day that you get, like stuff of. Because I'm kind of a digital hoarder, like RPGs are real life hoarder, but you know, it's different.
I'm not a real life hoarder.
He's in denial. Don't let him fool you.
I'm also not in denial about anything.
Let's see. Oh, I got the gamma armor for Kushla Dara because that was the arch-tempered monster this month or this week. Wow, not this month. That'd be weird. Featured thingies for a month in that game. Last week it was Extreme Behemoth, but I was like, I'm not having any of that. I was like, yeah, I'll do this some other time. Because, yeah.
Did you not have that party? Others?
And wait, why would you?
I said, do you not want any of that party?
I did not want any of that party. That does not sound like a fun party. Not a fun time party. So yeah, I'll just wait until it's around again, and you know, be ready for the abuse or whatever.
Oh my!
If or hopefully I have time to play, because also that, because it's like if you're failing a lot, it's like this is gonna take a while, and it's like kind of don't have a lot of time slotted for this game right now, and it's like if it's a hard quest like that, where it's like I kind of need this, I need this blueberries or randoms, what? Randoms. I need nuts. That's what you call it, randoms in Destiny, because they're blue on your radar if they're not on your fire team or your
whatever. I so, did not yeah. know that was a thing.
But, yeah, was not wanting to have any of that. So I was like, cancel this. I mean, maybe I could, but I was like looking up some video on YouTube and then like making a build and then testing it and then kind of torturing myself. Cause it's like, those are kind of grueling fights, man, like 40 minutes or something to like, and then you get in, you're like, yeah, it's like, I don't know. Yeah. My hands are sweaty. And I'm like, that was intense. It's like, yeah, no, thanks. That's not. That this is not
is that not a happy VR
drill instructor game where you're working out and they yell at you. That's no, this is not that. This is Monster Hunter, man. I just team up with my Palico. We go out into the field and we have fun and adventure and we capture and slay monsters and make gear and have fun times and you know, it's nice, you know, affair of just relaxing and adventuring and all that stuff. So yeah. As our hunter rank goes up and up and up, and it doesn't matter because it's just a number. So we're just having fun, man. I just play this game for fun. It's a fun game. And that is not fun. It's Extreme Behemoth because hard fight and has an instant wipe mechanic. That's never a fun thing.
Thanks
for putting that in the game. Thanks for doing that, Capcom. But yeah, besides that.
They wanted to make sure you were having fun. Like Destiny.
It's funny because like I actually enjoyed the Ancient Legend fight. I quite enjoyed it because it was like the perfect balance of like challenging and fun. I thought it was like fun and like it wasn't too hard. It wasn't not hard enough. It was just like the perfect balance. And like, you know, if you got the team going and it was like, you know, and that's the other thing. It's like you had to like rely on teammates and strangers. And I actually played with strangers and randoms in that one. I was like, okay, well, you know, if it's got me held down, someone flash it. Or it's like, someone's held down, I'll flash it for you. If it's about to roar, someone flash it or I'll flash it. Come on, guys, we can get through this. Yeah, and then, you know, eventually after going through enough, burning through plenty of teams on that one, got it done.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to say it was easy, but I got it done. So I just needed that, you know, set of armor and layered armor and all the gear. And I have to never play it ever again. That's great. So yeah, besides that, just Gran Turismo Sport, the dailies for the sweet reward car, and then Red Dead Redemption 2, which actually did pick up. Like Tropical said, it does get really good at the end of Chapter 3. Stuff goes down. One of the best missions ever in a Rockstar game, I would say. You posse up, and you take care of business. I'm not gonna say what else happens, but it was delicious and I very much enjoyed it. It was thoroughly enjoying, and I was like, man, why couldn't every mission in the game be like this? This was so good. I mean, that being said, it's a slow burn up to that point, so it all like pays off. It's just like, you know, that everything crescendos. It was just like story beat is like building, slowly 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 building, and slowly building like a giant wave, and then just like whoosh, whoosh, blah, 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 blah. Like a tsunami.
Oh.
So good. And just, man, yeah, payoff. That payoff was so good. And just, that is kind of like the game's like hindrance is like you do a lot of things a lot in that game, like over and over each city you go to with your crew, and like it's kind of like just the same thing as you're like running from the law. It's like, oh man, we gotta hide out and like do stuff, don't get caught guys, blah blah blah, like don't get the law on us, blah blah blah. And we're just like trying to weasel our way out of situations. We're always up against the wall, blah blah blah. The story also got better too, because like there's this whole like what's that thing, I guess it's not exactly parallelism or like an allegory, but it's like, you know, just the whole like, you know, you're an outlaw, you're running from the law, but then it's like, you know, there's like the government and society is trying to like to come in and domesticate the way that you are out in the wilderness of the frontier, and like, you know, just rein it in and just rule over you with rules and laws and the legislation and regulation. It's like, nah, man, I'm free. I'm a free spirit on the frontier. You can't regulate me. You're not going to get me, and I'm going to run away. I just do it all over again. And it's just like, you know, what is the limit of that, of like, how far can you push it before you're brought in for justice? It's like, oh yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2. It's also a lot of like weird stuff in, okay, not weird stuff, but like tonally, it's kind of all over the place, because not a very serious game, I would say. And it's just like, there's stuff about there about like suffrage and women voting, and there's a bit of stuff about prohibition and like no drinking that was in there a bit. That was like brought up once. And there's like stuff about slavery and racism. It's just
everyone's
like,
favorite topic.
It's so weird because like there's this one line this character said, and it was just super weird to me because it's like, you know, playing the game, it's in like towards the end of like the 19th century or whatever century, 1800s. It's like 1880, 1890, whatever. And then it's like, dude says something. It's like, wow, 2019, kind of still dealing with this problem. It's like, that's the only thing I like about this game is like, you know, with all the stuff it talks about, is like, makes you look in the mirror and be like, how far have we come? How far have we come? It's like 1890 something, and like a bit after 1900 something or 1990 something. It's like, you know, over 100 years later, still dealing with the same crap. I'm just saying, what's up with that, man? It's like, yeah, it's like, what something the character said, it was something like, something, something, something doesn't like the Negroes, and then they don't like Jews, they don't like the Redskins, they don't like Mexicans, blah, blah, or something, whatever. And I was like, still doing the same problems. Good to know. And it's just like, yeah, thanks, Red Dead, for like kind of ruining my trying to just like zone out in my fun place, in my escapism land. And you come in with all this real world stuff, and it's like, great, great. Now, here I am evaluating my life. Thanks. Thanks, Red Dead. Whatever. I mean, it could have been better, it could have been worse. It was a bit weird. It was a bit weird, especially after like the moment in the game that got like super serious story wise. And it was like, whoo, I need to breathe after that. And then that just shoveled that in my face. And I was like, oh, well, darkest timeline. Thanks. Let me just sit here and think about that. I mean, that being said, I didn't mind it because it's like, I wish more games went there and like, you know, would push the needle on political things and things of that nature. But yeah, that was very interesting. Actually, there is pretty cool because there is a lot of like interplay of like factions in the game, as far as like people who are out to get you, and then like you're trying to run from other people, and it's just like, you know, this whole like there are no like spies per se, but it's like it would be a really good setting for like a triple cross scenario if you were like someone that was like spying on one side for another side, or trying to play two sides against each other. And there's kind of some of that going on as far as like the whole like this. Well, there's like this one scenario in chapter 3 where it's like you're basically trying to play two sides against each other. It doesn't work out for you. And it's like, you know, if there would have been more of that, or just something where there's like a character or a faction that like did that in the game, that'd be really interesting, just because it is, there's a lot of factions that are, they don't really interact, and like you don't really see them play like the part that they probably should be playing to like have it be this this dynamic of them versus them versus them. It's like constantly changing. I guess they had like, I mean, it makes sense though, because they like kind of like got to keep the ball rolling with the story, so they can't just like, ooh, we're going to do this thing. So in Chapter 3, they kind of do something like that, but then it kind of, I mean, it did have a decent payoff, I would say, because I said that was amazing. It was a pretty good payoff, but it's like, it didn't go anywhere. So like for a while, I just like builds and builds and builds. It's not really going anywhere, but then when it pays off, it's like, ooh, that was, oh, I very much enjoyed that. So, but if they could have just, I feel like if they could have like just did more with that dynamic of like, you know, you have these size and these factions, but they don't really, you're really just, you know, constantly doing one thing for someone else. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to do this thing for this other person. And like, yeah, I'm going to rob this place or kill this person or do this thing. And just nothing really ever goes anywhere. But it's like, oh, but what if it did? What if it kept going? And it just was this whole cycle of, you know, trying to stay one step ahead. And how far could you push it? That's, they do kind of like, you know, they do, that is kind of like the thing that they, or the theme here of like, they try to take that and go with it, but I don't think it's like as good as it could be, but it's okay. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not terrible. So it's good enough. So, you know, yeah. Yeah.
A shining endorsement if I ever heard one.
Hey, I'm just saying, it's like, if that I played the game for like a very long time, it's like, I like 12 hour stretches. So it's like, if there would be a lot of filler there if they did that of just like, okay, get to the point, or just like, when is this arc going to like resolve itself? And it's like, you know, you can't just have it go over and like go on and on and on. I mean, you could, but then like it would go nowhere. So that's, I can see why they'd, you know, not take it to its fullest extent. But then again, it's like, if you did that, it also had to like be really good as far as like the payoff and the finale. So, but yeah, that was cool, because at Chapter 4, you get to new environment. And it's really weird, because it was to me in video game form what Rogue One felt like, where it's like you have a new version of a thing from the past that's like way better than the old thing. So I was like, this is kind of weird, because you have a town or environment that's not Blackwater, but it's very much more detailed than Blackwater, or I remember it being more detailed, or I remember it being. So I was like, this is kind of cool. I mean, Blackwater's in the game, but if you go there, you're like wanted. So I haven't been, I'm not going down there, because it's like wanted dead or alive and they will kill you. So it's like, bad idea. So I'll check it out later or whatever, or not, because I don't want to die.
Do you?
I'm like, what's the point? But then this other area that they brought in was kind of cool, because it was the contrast that like you had at the end of the first game, when you've been in this rural agrarian environment for like so long, and you get to the city and it's like, wow, it's so different here, and all this technology and all these new things, like their streetcars and just like so many people, like the density of the population and like the diversity of the population is like a bunch of different people too. That was pretty cool. And then like when you're first there, there's like this cutscene that like shows the city, and it looks very reminiscent of like the book The Jungle, or just like the Industrial Revolution, which they don't really touch on a lot in the game, like they did in the first game, like towards the end, talking about that whole thing about technology coming in. But I thought that was neat. And then like the character's reaction to it, as far as like, you know, all these people, all the people always like, you know, we're just like what it does, like when you're in that environment and you're just like people everywhere, like all the time, and you're not like in the country with like space to be free in the frontier, like I said, and just like, you know, you're reined in by the shackles of capitalism, and you will work to the death to pay off your debts that you owe.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah, that's
well, that sounds pleasant.
That's the light that they paint, and it's like, yeah, pretty accurate. I mean, I agree, because that's just I kind of feel that way. So I mean, it's not very like explicit. I'm kind of just like, you know, putting my own putting some of my own paint into this mixture too, but like, you know, it kind of does blow that way. The wind is blowing that way when they show it and stuff. So I thought that was pretty neat. I was like, yeah, I can see where you're going here, Rockstar. I feel the same way. This is a whole, I mean, yeah, Chapter 3 and 4, man. Chapter 3 finale and Chapter 4, that was, it redeemed the game. I was kind of down on it last week, but it has redeemed itself, and that was...
You were. You
story,
really were.
Story payoffs, the character beats, finally, it took, like, you know, 10 to 12 hours, or 12 plus hours, but they finally did it, so, you know, just slow burn, I'll say, on Red Dead Redemption 2, until you get to the third third act, and in the third act, things pick up. There's actually some really neat stuff in the third act where, like, you're not undercover per se, but you assume the identity of, like, what would the word be? Authority. But, like, you're not, like, you yourself are a lawless person. So it's kind of weird, that dynamic that they introduced. Like, you go into areas, but you can't do anything bad because you are representing that faction. So it's like, oh, you can't use your gun or get into trouble here. So have fun resolving these issues that we throw at you. That was pretty neat.
It's, well, like, violence isn't always the answer, Tekken. So
I never said it was. I'm just saying, it's like, you're I'm not saying you're a scumbag, but, like, okay, I said
that's
that.
Exactly,
but, like,
what you're saying.
I meant to say you're an outlaw, dude. Like, you're a lawless person. You just do whatever the F you want to. It's like, you're not bound by all these rules and regulations. I mean, you are, but it's like, you're like, mother effa, I have revolvers and a bandolier, and, like, my cowboy hat. Do you not see that? Do you not see my sweet duster jacket? I clearly am, like, some outlaw, and I just do whatever. So if you have a death wish, well, I have my red eye and my sweet, sweet guns and my horse. Oh, I have more horses now, too. That was nice. And they're like, max level, so they have, like, bear speed and everything. So it's like, the horse thing I complained about last week, everything's taken care of, if you're wondering. It's like, everything got resolved. I got more horses, and they're all cool.
Did you open up a ranch?
No, you can't do that.
Well, that's disappointing.
I mean, you can, like, what all would entail in your ranching dreams RPG? Because you can, like, get horses and sell them, and that's, like, it. And you can, like, make their stats go up really slowly over time and then sell them, and that's, like, it. You can't really do too much ranching.
And breed them.
And no, then, you can't breed horses either.
And, like, brush them and make them pretty. And then, you know, those kinds of things.
They also introduced something really interesting and weird, because it's like they have was it homesteads, I think, where it's basically like in Ubisoft games, how there's like the giant thingy you climb, or the giant flag tower that you get to flag, or whatever the F for that game, where it's like you get the thing and it opens up more territory. Mm-hmm. Where in this game, it's not that per se. It's basically just like they have these houses strewn throughout the map, and it's just randomly generated as far as who's in them, and then you don't have to, but basically if you go to them, you can rob them. So each time you rob them, you can rob it differently. So you can just, like, do the classic hold up of, like, you know, hands in the air, where's your money, where's all the goodies, or you can just, like, go in there and kill everybody, and then, like, you know, however you want
to way to do things
approach it. There's not really a lot of subtlety. I mean, I guess you could, like, stealthily sneak in there and just, like, knock him out or choke him out, and then, well, I guess
you do that when you can run in there and kill everybody instead. The proper way to do things,
because RPG. That's actually another interesting thing they did, is that in this one, if someone sees you do something bad, like, before you get your wanted level, like, you, it says, like, witness, so you have the opportunity to just, like, interrogate or kill the witness, and then
you know how that's gonna go.
RPG. Are you just, like, planning out your crime already?
It's like, I just have one question. Did you see anything? There's only one right answer to this question. Spoiler alert.
So, yeah, you basically can silence the witnesses one way or another. Wink, wink, RPG.
Yes.
And then, party. And then go back to the scene of the crime to get, like, all the sweet loot, which I did end up looting more in this the second round, because I was like, you know what, I'm short on cash because I haven't been looting anything, so I'm gonna loot everything. And then I had, like, a bunch of money and gear, or not gear, but spoils, like items to heal myself and get my red eye back, or dead eye. I keep calling it red eye, dead eye, after it would, like, go down and stuff. So yeah. And then also you can slowly upgrade the different areas of the camp, which I said last week, and then I got it all upgraded. And I did figure out the fast travel, but it's weird because it's a one-way trip, so you can only fast travel to destinations, but not back from destinations. So I was like, what?
What do you mean? That doesn't make any sense. So then why? So you can't just...
I don't know, dude. It's weird. I don't know why they did that. You can. I haven't used it, but I was looking at the map.
Do they, like, block out the place that you came from or something? Or
no, you don't have the option to, like, just beam yourself there. You can only go to destinations. So I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, I haven't tried it, so I guess I'll try it. See if you can go back.
Go back to where you went, I guess, then.
Because you only have the option to pull your map out. You don't have the option to fast travel from where you're at to place on map in the wilderness when you're not in your camp. So maybe the map's too big. I don't know. So, or I mean, I don't know, man. There's a lot of space for water in that bucket, as Tropical says. So I don't know why they got it. But yeah. And then yeah, it's getting really good in chapter 4. So I thought I was close to the end because, like, in the game, someone said, like, you've got 3 days or something, something. They gave me some ultimatum. It was cool, man. There was, like, a super tense, like, okay, it wasn't exactly a Mexican standoff because, like, there was, like, a one-sided Mexican standoff where it's like, okay, you're coming with us. And they're like, no, he's not. And they all pull their guns out. And they're like, you better get the F out of here. And they're like, oh, yeah? Well, I've got, like, 50 dudes coming with me, and you're all gonna die, so... 3 days. That's all you got. Oh, there's also I just remembered something that happened. And like, okay, so in the first Red Dead Redemption, cool stuff happens, and like every time you go to like a certain area, your like outfit will change, and like you'll keep certain clothes on. And so like when you go to Mexico, you get this sweet poncho, and it's like, oh, I've been to Mexico. Oh, and then like yeah, like the best sequence in the, like one of the best sequences ever, really, in the game. In this game, okay, so. This is really weird because like I'm thinking about like how much I trashed this game last week and like it redeemed itself this week. Anyway, this time you have I'm not gonna say what happens, but like you have something happen to you. It's amazing. Okay, it's not amazing. It's pretty traumatic. But that being said, it happens. But the journey you have is amazing because like you're like, oh man, how am I gonna do this one? And it's just like so good. And then. It's like weeks later and like you wake up and like you got this sweet beard and it's like, whoa, because in the game you can like groom yourself and like, you know, slick back your hair, or, like trim your beard. And, like I was keeping my beard short for like a while. And I was like, after a while, I was like, whatever. I was like, not worry about it, let it grow out. And then it's like cool because when you woke up after that, like weeks later thing, I had a sweet beard, like way long. That's like over exaggerating. But like my dude, my main character dude. Had a beard, kind of looked like Jesus, and I was like, you know what? From what we've just been through, this is a Jesus moment, and he's just going to be Jesus for the rest of the game. So, that being said, I was also being, like, a paragonal self and, like, being good, so it's like, yeah, it's like, I think it's a weird, like, whole karma thing and, like, paying off and, like, whatever, I didn't know was going to happen, but, like, I thought that was awesome, and I was like, you know what? Jesus, dude, you are... you're going to just, like, roll this look for the rest of the game, and we'll see where it goes. And that was pretty cool. And then it's like, I looked on like the beard meter when like you go to trim your beard. It's not even max beard. So it's like, I might get to max beard, but I don't know. When you go to trim your beard, it's like, would you like to be all the way down or?
You have you can't go maximum beard.
It's like, you know, I think I'm like halfway. So I was like, oh, wow, that's a lot of beard. Like, and it's not even, it's like, yeah, it's only halfway. So I'm like, what's it going to look like when it's full? I guess we'll find out. So that was pretty cool. And there's like this cool. Thing.
Always ask for innovation. And here we are. Beard meters, man. Beard meters.
Oh, man. That's the other weird thing about this game. Like something happened and like it made me think about like how this game is like so much more tame than GTA because like you had this one of the stranger encounters is this dude who's like an artist from France. And you have some like weird conversation with him about art. And then he gives you like this. This drawing he does with like this lady's boob on it or something, or just like this, it's a lady obviously, and like she has a like bare boob or bare breasted boob showing, and it's like that's like the least tame thing in this game that I've like gone past so far, and I'm like, this is like nothing for GTA. I was like, this is weird, this is so weird because this is like the same company making a very similar game, and like, but then it's like the thing that like it also brought it back to me for like the whole like, you know, past versus future, where it's like city versus country versus legislation versus freedom, blah blah blah, and just like it's like this is in this game. I've never seen this, and I'm sure if this was in okay, maybe not, but like I could see a situation where it's like something similar is in GTA. It's like you'd not hear about it. So it's like, oh, that's funny, like a weird double standard between similar games. But I've shot so many people in the head, and it's like you don't. It's like no, he's like whatever. Too much violence, Red Dead, and because it's okay. There's like some like really brutal. Deadeye, like headshots you can get with like a double barrel shotgun in this game, where it's just like It's nothing's there. It's just like you go over to loot the body. It's like, where'd the head go? Like,
oh dear.
Like, whoa.
Oh, where'd
it go? It's just like, oh, I blew it off. That's what happened.
He was already dead.
I had like a lot of weird violence and gore situations happened because like he shoot at people from like very like range with rifles with this game because like that's just the way the weapons were. And like I get up close to them like to loot them. And I'm like, wait, what happened to this limb or that limb? It's like, oh, I blew it off. Well. Rated M for a reason, haha. But yeah, very much enjoying Red Dead after the slow first 10 plus hours, 12 plus hours of it in chapter 1 and 2. Chapter 3, things pick up, like Tropical said. And man, looking forward to the finale resolution epilogue and everything, because I have, yeah, it's like I bounced back from my low on it last week and things are picking up and things are but at where I would like them to be for like the whole game. It's slow burn first half, but after you get to the third chapter, things are like, yeah, so good. So did not, or after it initially disappointing, it did pick up and get to where I wanted to be the whole way through. But that's fine. So looking forward to playing the rest and finish it off. And I think I might just crack out on it after the podcast today. So we'll see. And that's all I've been playing.
Cool. Yeah. Before the podcast, I could not remember if I had played anything this week because I have an event on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That I hope is not a disaster. So we'll see. But no, I guess I did play. I played more of The Division 2 because after the story. Oh, so they finally fixed that one place where I couldn't go talk to the guy. And now I can talk to the guy, and I realized, like, a lot of stuff got messed up.
Wow.
By playing co-op with randos.
Oh, no.
Because, so first of all, there are certain side missions that are tied to, like, upgrades in the different settlements. So, like, for example, so in this case, there was a guy who you hear about in the settlement. Someone's like, oh, yeah, this guy out over there, he has a bunch of bees, and if you could go like help him out and then bring him back, then the settlement can have honey because, you know, he'll bring all his bees. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll probably do that later. At the time, I was like not confident soloing any of these things, but then one time I went back to the settlement and it had like this upgrade cutscene. Basically it's like, oh, this part's upgraded. And I walked around looking at all the new stuff, and I saw they had beehives. And I didn't really think of anything of it at the time. But then, after this, I actually did go and do the bee mission. And then I was like, wait a minute, there were already beehives in the settlement. And I just finished this one, and the guy's like, oh yeah, I think it's not safe here anymore. I'm going to move back to the settlement. I was like, Were you already there and like the progression got mixed up and it happened already, but I haven't actually done the mission yet? And I think that is what happened. Like some progression, my progression is illogical. Like it doesn't seem to break the game at all, but it's just like some things have been upgraded that shouldn't be upgraded. And yeah, that guy I couldn't talk to, like he, when I went in, he told me about another mission, like, to save some other camp. And I guess I had already done that one. So, yeah, it's the story-wise, the linearity of it is, like, it's messed up. But, it seems fine. My actual progression through the story did not seem to have been affected at all by that bug, which means that it's, like, that was the ending, and yeah, I guess it was pretty anticlimactic, but whatever. So now I'm officially in the end game, and I know it. And there's, I think there's four of them now, but at the time there was three strongholds, which are like bigger missions essentially that you go through, and they tend to be tougher because they're level gated at. I think the first one you have to be level 25 and the last one you have to be level 30. And I'm like at 29 finally. Cause the first stronghold I did was, it was fine. it was quite long. I didn't anticipate it being that long. So like the first time I actually had to jump out because I had to leave the house. So we were, but then when I finally finished it, I was like, oh, I abandoned those guys like right at the end. So I hope they didn't have any problems.
Oh, no.
The second time, the second stronghold, though, was really hard. I'm not really sure why. It's sort of, or I kind of know why. It was like the last encounter of that part is not your typical Division 2 type situation. Like a lot of the areas in Division 2 are like, you go into a room, bad guys pour in, kill all the bad guys, and then that room is done. So you run around, gather your loot, and then you go on to the next room. The end encounter for this stronghold was like, you have to destroy two fuel tanks, and they take a lot of hits if you're using your regular guns. So what you want to do ideally is get control of these like mounted machine gun turrets. But it's really hard because the enemies, I think, are infinitely spawning. So they just keep pouring in from both sides after you've taken out every single group. And they're not quite as bullet spongy as Division 1, but they're still, like, they don't go down like Call of Duty. It's not like two or three shots. It's like, it takes effort. And I've realized that I'm not really sure what the strategy is for melee enemies. If they have a lot of health, they run towards you. Like, there's nothing you can do. There's no way to take them down before they get to you. So you
run away.
Yeah. So you gotta, like, jump out of the way and run away. But then,
I guess it makes sense because you said they made the whole cover system more of a risk-reward situation.
Dynamic. Yeah. But yeah, like, what happens is, and, like, this, what, the second time we got through it, It was a totally different group when I finally got through it. I guess they were just better at being safe because the first group that I played with it through it to that point, they just were out. Like, we were very spread out in this area, and they kept enemies keep pouring in from both sides, and it was very hard to like help each other take down tough enemies, and because we were just like very far apart. And you know, reviving is an instant, so it takes a few moments, but then that's a few moments where you're exposed. Like, every time, if you gotta avoid a melee guy, that means you gotta get out of the cover that you're in. And if there are still a ton of other guys who can shoot at you around, then you will get very hurt very quickly. And yeah, like, we played probably 10, 12 tries before people started dropping out immediately after going down. Oh, and I was like, oh no, everyone's abandoning the mission. It's like, well, now it's just me. And I mean, I saw what happened with four people. There's no way I can do this myself. And so it was left to another day when I finally met a different group. Two of them had the same clan tag, so I assumed they were on voice chat. So they were good at coordinating with each other. My role tends to be, you know, figuring out the flanking situations whenever I just like look where my teammates are. I was like, okay, they're going to be there, so I'll just like try to go around this way. And then
that, you use them as bait.
Yeah, that seems to work pretty well. The only difference is, like, if we had mics, then they would know it. Whereas, since we're not communicating,
that makes it even better.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm just doing it without their knowledge.
like, where'd the other guy go?
Surprise! Yeah, that time, oh, we wiped once, so it wasn't perfect, but we did on the second try very easily. It's like, oh wow, that was like way easier than that other group I was playing with. So yeah, those have been pretty fun. They're quite long, pretty challenging. It reminds me of the challenge, like the tough times I was having earlier in the game, but different. Since, like, in the I don't remember why exactly I was having a tough time. I think it's just, yeah, the new system, how it's much more like, oh, you can't just hunker down and, you know, play whack-a-mole. They will come get you. They will throw grenades. And you know, in this game, it's not just grenades. They also throw, I guess they're Molotovs, because they like land near you and then immediately the entire area is engulfed in flames. And that kills you really fast, too. Like, fire kills you very quickly in the Division. And the flamethrower guys have a lot of armor, and so they can get really close to you before they start burning you. And then you're just like, well, I'm not sure what to do. I mean, I guess I'd get up and like roll around and hope the fire goes out. But then there's going to be people shooting at me with bullets. Yeah, and then just everyone having more health in the strongholds is like, oh, this is pretty neat. Pretty tough, but pretty neat. There's a... I don't know if these were in the first game. There are heavily armored melee guys. And the first ones I saw were these dudes in just like full armor from head to toe. And they were wielding sledgehammers. And they just like slowly, you know, tank move towards you. And then suddenly they'll like run at you and then take a swing. And yeah, like those guys, like there's nothing you can do. There's no way you can take them down unless everyone is concentrating fire or you have someone on a turret. There was a part where there was two of them and it was a mad scramble. All four of us just like dodge roll, dodge roll, dodge roll, and trying not to get hit because it's basically a two hit kill. The first hit takes off all of your, if you have full armor, it's all of your armor and essentially all of your health. You have like a sliver left, and then yeah, it's very dangerous if there's anyone who can shoot at you left. So yeah, progress wise there is a level 30 stronghold that I need to get to level 30 to do, and then they released a new one in a free update I think last week, which I haven't seen yet, so something.
Okay, Charticle, so we've got Destiny, Division, Anthem, Fallout 76. You haven't played Fallout, right?
No, I have not.
But of the, I hate to say this word, shooter, looter, games of service games, would you say you're liking Division the most right now?
Yeah, I feel like,
or it's like yeah, the best
that's probably
the
true. Well, I haven't gone back to Anthem in a few weeks. Anthem was fun, and it felt like it had more, not more replayable, but there was like more content than Destiny. So, like, yeah, when I played Anthem, I could not stop thinking about Destiny. It's like, oh, everything in this is weird to read that they were forbidden to talk about Destiny when making Anthem, because like so many things feel like reactions to Destiny. It's like, oh, like stupid things like, oh, we're going to do third person so that, you know, you can see your javelin and stuff. And that makes cosmetics and things important. Oh, we're going to, you know, the tower is like a static place that never really changes. And yet you still kind of always have to go there. It's like, well, we're going to have little stories inside of our quote unquote tower. And those will be little interesting. You know, they don't involve saving the world and all this bigger stuff. But, you know, if you enjoy talking to all the people on the Citadel, like you'll like this, too. And then, yeah, like the story campaign mode, like it all felt like there was more. Destiny felt like quickly, okay, you're through the campaign now, for the after that 10 hours it's all end game. Oh, and but you need friends if you want to play some of that stuff. But yeah, so it just felt like it was, they usher you into the end game very quickly with Destiny. So out of the So that's all the good stuff with Anthem. But on the other hand, like there is like very broken things that I didn't notice until they were pointed out to me, like how gear doesn't really matter that much.
It's a loot shooter.
It's in the name.
I mean, I guess I was playing it the lazy way that I was playing it. what's the right way to do it. I was like, whatever one says has a bigger number, that's the one I'm choosing, and it doesn't matter what it is or anything like that. I'm just choosing the bigger numbers. And yeah, because of, I guess, the way that the damage multipliers and all that stuff works, like, that was the way to do it. Don't worry about any of these, like, special random roll things on there. None of those matter as much as just the number. And at first I was like, yes, you know, I did it right and I never have to think about it. But then I was like, that's kind of sucky then. Like, that just means, you know, I'm just looking for the bigger numbers. So if I play and I don't get, what are they called? I think they're called
Masterworks.
Legendary ones. Yeah, the highest ones. Like, if they're not that, then I'm basically stuck here. There's no way for me to progress. Or in any way, like, I can't progress my suit level, and I also can't make the game easier for me because none of the other stats which differentiate identical pieces of equipment, like, actually do anything, apparently. So that was kind of like, so I don't really know what the point is to continue grinding this. And then Division feels like, it feels like I played through an entire open world game and like completed it. And the end game stuff is just like bonus stuff if I want to play more. So that aspect of Division, I think, is really great. But then again, yeah, I haven't played much the end game. And, you know, usually for Anthem, I did feel sort of a drive to be like, oh, I want to be more powerful than other people or whatever. But Division never felt that ever. It was just like, I want to be powerful enough that I can just sort of not worry too much about any of the activities. So I can see, like, the other activities. But, yeah, it doesn't really matter to me. So I don't feel the drive to be going for, like, oh, I need better stuff. I need better stuff.
Do you think that the, because doesn't Division have, like, sit bonuses, whereas the other two don't?
Does Anthem have sit bonuses? Yeah, I don't think so.
Do you think that's, like, more of a, do you think that helps that one out more versus the other two?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Because, like, so the older Diablo games, or even the new ones, like, they have set bonuses and stuff like that, but unless it was, like, Diablo 3 style, where the sets, like, legendaries in Diablo 3 do very exotic things compared to normal weapons.
Exotic things, you say?
Yeah, so you'll have, you know, everyone is a sword, and it just, like, increases your damage or whatever, and some have, like, oh, this increases your health as well, or it, like, gives you higher lightning damage or something like that. But then once you get to, like, the legendaries in Diablo, they do things like, oh, every 5 seconds, like, an exploding minion will spawn next to you, maximum of 5, and then they just, like, run out and kill everything. And it's like, that's weird, but kind of awesome. I had another one. I think I was playing, well, like, you wouldn't expect a non-necromancer character to be able to raise the dead, but I had a weapon that would just, like, sometimes you'll, like, kill something and they'll come back to life and fight for you. It's just like, okay. And I could, like, build a little zombie army just because of, like, the special attributes of this piece of equipment. So, yeah, like, I don't know if Division has anything that is like that. I think those types of things are really cool. And for the most part, like, there wasn't, Destiny doesn't really, well, Destiny 2 had some stuff like that. Some weapons were just, like, very strange.
The set bonus, the problem with, like, Destiny is, or Destiny 2 anyway, is, like, the set bonuses weren't as, well, A, the set bonuses weren't as good as in Destiny 1, and then, like, when you did have them, they were only really helpful in, like, the raid gear, and it's, like, besides that, it's kind of useless.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, if I'm not playing the raid, then this power-up means absolutely nothing to me, because no one else can do the status.
it's cooler when it's stuff that changes the game. Like Borderlands 2 did something like that, right? Where you had, once you got to a certain level in the skill tree, like you could change your how your special worked or something like that. I don't recall exactly.
Well, some of them had different effects and different trees regardless. Yeah. So even then it was like, you can kind of customize it based on, you know, that kind of stuff, which is cool.
So I think it's really neat. Actually, Anthem has that for the gun, sort of. But all of the Masterwork versions of the same gun have the same, like, special attribute or gear. So, like, there's one, there's, like, an acid shooter you can get for Colossus that, I think, doubles the damage of your, or, like, triples, doubles or triples the damage that your combos do. And I was like, oh, so that's really cool. And I guess it doesn't really change the game that much. I'm trying to think of one that changed.
Yeah, because that's like one of the things that killed Destiny 2 for me, is that like it turned into like aesthetics don't matter because I don't care about the armor anyway. And like since none of the sets were like, oh, this does something cool, it was just about, well, I'll just have a set of armor because none of the perks are like really good at all or work together or have synergy. So it's just like, well, I'll have like a sweet exotic I run and base it off of, or like build whatever I'm running off of that.
Like, it just seems like with Destiny, they were sort of afraid to make things too powerful all the time. Yeah. So like Galahorn, right? It was like the one rocket launcher that had a really weird thing. But then, they just like made it less useful. Like everyone had Galahorn then. Or there was the sniper rifle that like reloaded itself every time you did critical hits or whatever.
My wonderful Black Hammer. Yeah, Black Hammer. Before they destroyed it.
Well, it's back now.
So they like had cool things and then they're like, oh, it's too powerful. We messed up. So, yeah. Although, you know, it's weird because I don't think Division has anything like that because it's sort of grounded in reality. But I don't know. I haven't, you know, played around in the endgame at all.
Yeah, it's really weird because I was like hearing all this good stuff about Division and like I had this one video float into my recommends on YouTube because I'd been watching so many videos on it about how they would like probably eventually like nerf a bunch of stuff because they have to balance it for PvP. And I was like, oh no, I forgot there's PvP in this game. Which like made me like instantly be like fearful, but then I'm like, maybe by the time I get the game, it won't be that bad, or maybe it won't be as bad as Destiny, so I'll just wait and see. So now I'm hoping that, like, it's the, like the thing that they did with Destiny, where it's like you had a bunch of cool stuff, but like it was constantly getting balance changed or like fixed because of the PvP experience. And it's just like, oh, to have like that's why Anthem was supposed to be like the golden child.
Yeah,
and it was like gonna like PvP. You know, not be tethered to like some garbage PvP and like have sweet, you know, PvE all the time. But we saw that, which more turned out. So here's to Division 2 not having balance casualties.
Yeah, I guess PvP. Yeah, I did play some. I think I talked about one time where it was just like 4-on-4 deathmatch or domination, basically. But you have all of your stuff. So the gear in Division is pretty exotic type things like seeker mines and healing drones and things like that. As far as I could tell, it did not appear to be unbalanced in any way. It was just like sometimes you play with people who know how to be cautious, and sometimes you play with people that just want to run out in the open. It's like, well, this is a cover shooter. Like, clearly that is the way to die. Yeah, and then I guess I haven't done Dark Zone stuff. Like, there's more than one Dark Zone introduction. Yeah, there's more than one Dark Zone introduction mission in the game because there's three different Dark Zones. So there's one for each of those, which I still think is like really cool compared to the first game, where there is like introduction and you get to walk around inside of it without other people trying to kill you.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to get murdered.
But I guess you know, since then, I really haven't ventured back in there. I still have a lot of open world stuff to do. There's like a lot of side missions I haven't done. There's a lot of they came up with a bunch of different activities, so that are like I don't think I've ever seen before in this type of game. So like there's one where it's a supply drop, and in most games it'd be like, okay, you know, the supply drop, defend the supply drop until a certain time, or like kill all the enemies that come to get the supplies, and then you're done. In Division 2, not only do you have to kill them, you have to kill them quickly, because they will go over and open the supply boxes and take whatever's inside. And so you have to, like, while you're trying to kill them all, if you can do it quickly, do that. But if you can't, then the other strategy is like, just shoot a lot of bullets at them so they're, you know, suppressed behind cover, and then run over and open the boxes yourself to claim them. And so it's like, it really is like a tug of war for the supply boxes. Like, oh, who's going to get them first? Who's going to get them first? So far, there's like ones that I've only seen ones that there'll be like three boxes drop from the sky with parachutes, and then like you gotta get him first. And like I've only, the first time I played it, I didn't know that. I just thought, oh, I'm just gonna like shoot these guys, and then when they're dead, then it's like, oh, it's over. But no, like, they ran over and start opening the boxes, like, oh, you've lost one of the boxes. Like, what are you talking? And then so I ran over, so that one I only got one, and they got two of them, and I was like, oh, mission was failed. It's like, wow, that was neat. And then there's like another activity that I discovered recently was, there's just target practice happening outside. So good survivors are out there with their like more experienced gun handlers, I guess. And they're like shooting targets, and then you'll go over and they'll be like, oh, you know, you're a division agent, you want to show these guys how it's done. And then you have like a little shooting range type
thing. There's like a target competition thing.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them out in the city, and it's like, oh, this is neat.
That is neat. That is really cool.
It's just like, compared to the first game, the city feels more alive and like realistic. It's not just everyone is bad, you're the one good guy with the gun, and everybody is bad. Oh, and there's like the homeless people who I guess they don't matter. Occasionally they want a soda or a protein bar. It's just like, that seems weird. So everyone who decided to survive went evil. And the people who were like, no, I don't want to be evil, like, well, then you're going to be homeless. <It's> like, <"What?" laughs> And in this one, it's like, oh no, there's like communities of people who want to help each other, and then there are other communities of people who don't want to help each other and yet still banded together to be a evil, don't want to help each other community. Or no, I guess in the groups, they're like sometimes
the Division.
Well, that
they're like the Walking Dead groups of the Division.
Kind of.
Oh dear.
We didn't have any choice. We're all terrible, and we'll kill each other sooner than the walkers will. But you know, something had to be done. So whatever, had to think of something.
I'm trying to think if there was any. I can't remember. Oh yeah, I guess like they're basically zealots. Like in the first game, there was a group that was all. They believed that they had to go around and burn all the people and everything because they could be infected with the virus, and so they were just like. They basically were like the flamethrower guys in the game. And then this one, the only one I can think of is like there's a sort of paramilitary group that is. I forget what they believe, but yeah, like they're banded together by some ideology. And then there's like the hyenas, which are, I don't know, like why would people who want to take from other people like band together to take from other people, like efficiency? But how did like they start this coalition?
one guy was probably trying to loot, trying to steal from the other. He's like, hey, why don't we just steal together? And he's like, you're right. You get more stuff if there's more of us. And then he's like, let's find more people who think like us. And then eventually they were just like, hey, do you like stealing stuff from people? He's like, yeah, I love stealing stuff from other people. He's like, join our group and we'll steal stuff together. He's like, all right, guys, but just know I might steal from you too. He's like, it's cool. We're probably stealing from you anyway. So then it just keeps on going until next thing you know, there's a giant group of them. Giant group.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that makes sense. Like, I'm picturing in my mind, like, two guys. One guy's trying to break into a car and the other guy's like, oh, you want to use my rock? That's why I used to break into that car over there. I was like, oh, okay.
Like, oh man, you did a great job. Let's get out of there.
Then they get to know each other, and it's like, oh yeah.
Then they laughed, and shenanigans happen. And then there's a theme song, and they get a sitcom.
Oh my gosh, I think like of a musical when like you're describing RPG, you're like, yeah, there's a sitcom. It's like this thing. The two Steves, they're both terrible.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, just like it feels more alive just because, you know, not everyone in the city is either homeless or fighting you. It's lots of different factions fighting each other when they happen to run into each other. And they also did this thing where the control points that you can capture. So in the first game, there was just like the safe houses, and those were like the fast travel points. And so every section, every district of the city had a safe house, and those were the places you could travel to. Now it's like the safe houses, and then in those areas that the safe houses are in, there's like the control points, which are like controlled by the various factions. And you can go in and like take those over for the like good guys' settlements, I guess. And then yeah, they'll like send supply convoys between them. So you'll see like bad guy convoys moving around on the map and good guy convoys moving around on the map. And you can like go and escort the good ones, and you can try to take all the supplies from the bad ones. And since, you know, different factions are moving around the map actually, and they're not just in mission areas or just in one place. They'll run into other factions and they've like fight each other. And I was like, oh, it's really neat.
Man, that's a really good touch, because that's like one of the best things to like do in a giant open world game to make your thing feel alive is like when the NPCs fight.
Yeah.
And not just interacting with you. Like you said, you're not just the only good guy with the gun killing everything. That makes opportunity to be like, oh, well, these two are fighting. Let me wait for them to just whittle each other down a bit. And dun, dun, dun. Here comes our hero.
It's like the opposite of the tree falling in the forest. This is like in a lot of games, like, does the world outside of what I can see even exist? And in The Division, it feels like it does, because you can see the convoys on the map. It's like, yeah. It appears that there are convoys out there moving around. And, you know, sometimes when I walk up to a place where two factions are close to each other, I find them fighting. So it feels like stuff is happening before I get to see them. It's pretty cool. So yeah, I guess I would still rate Destiny. No, I don't know how to rank Destiny and Anthem. They have different
problems. It's also funny because even though Borderlands like isn't even in the same... I mean, it's a loot shooter, but it's not like games of service.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what Borderlands 3 goes, but like, I saw this funny comment on Twitter where someone was like, I don't know why... They complain about Borderlands. They're like, oh, it's overrated or something about like not being good. Or just like, there's something to the effect of like, I don't even know why so many people like Borderlands. It doesn't even have a raid. And it's like, dude... You don't even know. It's like, it's not about the raid, dude.
Sorry, you're drunk.
It's not about the raid. It's like all these things this game does terribly. And it's a lot of them. Borderlands does it better, and they did it first. So back the F off. I mean, I didn't tweet that response to them. I didn't tweet them in their Twitter about that. But
yeah, did you have a shotgun that could shoot rockets?
Yeah. It's like, did you have guns that could do this? It's like, no.
Your gun shoot guns?
Do you have guns with legs?
Because they do.
Oh, what was the brand that, like, you don't reload them because the guns are too cheap? And you just, like, chuck them? And they blow up.
You just throw it away. Yeah.
Was it? Were those Torx?
I think it's either that or the teetier ones.
Yeah, it's like you don't reload; you just take out a new one out of
that,
the six.
Also, that too, dude, is like the different effing gun manufacturers in Borderlands are actually different. Yeah. The gun manufacturers, Destiny, all those guns are the effing same, dude. Like, besides visually different, yeah. it's like
this one. Best some of them maybe does like a little twirl or something.
It's like Cirrus auto rifle versus flipping Hake auto rifle. It's like very, very, very little difference going on there. Borderlands hater, yeah.
Yeah, so STFU, whoever you are.
You'll F yourself in the B. Yeah.
In the B.
Apparently, whenever Division 2's raid type thing comes out, it's going to be 8 players.
Oh, that should be fun.
Yeah, I have no idea what it's going to be like.
Because we've been asking for that kind of action in Destiny and never got it.
It's hard to say, like, when the raids work exactly as they intended in Destiny, it is really cool. Like, you're solving these sort of puzzles that you wouldn't really expect to have in a first-person shooter.
And then you don't get the loot dropped. And you're like, oh, there's always next week.
You know, that comes later, though.
Maybe next time. And it's like 9 weeks later. And you're like, oh, man. I wish I'd rather have heaven. I guess I'll never get it. And you're like, F this game. Why am I still playing? I hate myself. I hate this game. And it's just like, yeah, it's like, it's just a cycle that never repeats. I mean, I might be speaking from personal experience, but you know, your experience could be different. Maybe you want to roll those dice. I don't think you do, but you know, you don't have to take my word for it. Dun dun dun.
Yeah, that to me, that comes later, like the actual playing of the raid. The
rage of the game, just like seeping into your skin of just never getting the things you want, but you know they're there. And it's like, and then months later, it's like, hey guys, guess what? Got patch notes for patches. And you're reading the patch notes and it's like, oh, apparently there was only a 10% drop rate for this thing. And, it's 5% because it's single digits because F you. And, you know, we went ahead and doubled that to 10%. I mean, saying we doubled it sounds really good. And you're like, oh, it was only 5% to begin with. And it's like, oh, well, did you really have a chance at 5%? Oh, that would take if you take like 5% every week, that's like 50 weeks. That's like almost a year, but you know, you'll get it eventually. I mean, if you don't get it, maybe like the first 20 weeks, maybe, you know, you'll give up and stop playing like most of our user base, but whatever, man. Here at Bungie, man, that's just how we roll, guys. It's just like, you know, you just keep on going because we don't need that power magic. We just work on through and stuff just works or doesn't, and we don't care. So whatever, man. Whatever, man. I'm not bitter at all. I'm totally bitter. I'm sorry. Like, after I read those patch notes, it's like, I just need to, like, stop reading Destiny stuff. Because, like, every time, it's like, it just triggers me. I'm just like, to get, like, in my skin, it gets under my skin, and, like, my blood just boils. I'm just like, rage, and just like, yeah, it's over, dude. Like, 5 seconds is all it takes. It's just like, I go into kill mode. I'm just like, I hate this game. I just, but it's fine. It's like, I'm at peace now, like, you know, for the final time with Destiny 2, hopefully, because I read those patch notes, and I'm like, you know, Destiny 2? Never again. Like, I'm off the train, dude. Once my annual pass time is up, I'm done, dude. That's it for Tekken. It's like, you know, just like Michael Jordan had to come back from retirement that one time. It's like, I had to come back. My raid team needed me. And then they did. RPG. And then they did. And then they didn't. And I'm like, you know what? They don't need me. And I don't need this game in my life. And I didn't need to go to the Bungie BDSM club. But I've been enjoying this like over like 1+ month away from the game, or like over a month away from the game, and playing other things, and like, you know, having the time of my life playing other things, not hating myself, not raging, not, you know, I'm sure RPG and Tropical can attest to that too. Like, you know, Tekken's probably not as, you know, off the handle lately. Just seems a bit chipper. Not as angry, you know, raging all the time. I don't know what it must be. Maybe it's all that Destiny's not playing. But you know.
On psycho at one point. Like, it's kind of concerning, actually.
Will not be missed. F that game.
So that's what I've been playing.
Wonderful. I guess.
It was perfect timing for Borderlands to come back, so I could just jump on that and be like, whatever happens in September with Destiny and like whatever they're doing, it's like, guess what? Not Tekken. Not it. Peace out. I'm done.
Go for yourself. Are you done with the... Did you finish Red Dead?
No, I haven't finished it.
Okay. Okay. Because I got Handsome Collection, so I'm ready. Although now and you got the first one, right? The remaster?
I haven't got it yet. I'm waiting to see how long it takes me to get through Red Dead because I don't want to buy it and then have Days Gone and be like right around the corner. Okay. But that's like the 29th or something. So it's like, and it's on a Friday. So it's like, I'm going to play that game the Tuesday after it comes out because I'm playing games on Tuesday. And that's just how it works. Days Gone. I'm sorry you came out on Friday. You're not getting played until Tuesday. It's not happening. So it's your own fault.
Don't like these Friday releases. It's kind of
annoying. And, you know, I can go back to Borderlands because Borderlands is a fun time and a fun ride, and I've had it many times because I triple dipped on that one back in the day, and I can complete the circle with a quadruple dip. Getting it on PS4.
Because there ain't no rest for the wicked.
Yeah. Money don't grow on trees. However the rest of it goes. Oh, man.
Cool.
Their openings were always fun.
They should release an album that's just like all the openings for every Borderlands, including Tales of the Borderlands. Or was it Tales from the Borderlands?
Tales from.
Yeah, each of those had, one of them had two songs, but each of those had a cool intro. And stitch those together with the trailer.
Each of the episodes of Tales from the Borderlands.
Because the first trailer for Borderlands 1 had a different song that wasn't in the games.
What?
It was, I think it's called Heaven by Champions, maybe? I have to look it up.
I do not, actually, now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever seen any of the Borderlands trailers. I think I just got that one because everybody was like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I'm like, okay.
Just like, I need to watch this.
All right, then.
I'm pretty sure like pre-sequel's trailer was the Final Countdown, I think. And Borderlands 2 used... nope, Borderlands 2 just used the song from the beginning of the game, which was the one that Arkham City used for their trailer.
Oh. Ain't no something something for no heroes or whatever.
Yeah, something.
Interesting. Interesting indeed.
I could have sworn there was like a like dubstep song for the Borderlands 2, but that must have been like the launch trailer or something, because I remember there was like a whoop whoop thingy going on.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because of Claptrap. I don't think there was like a actual song, because I remember he was doing stuff.
Yeah.
The dubstep era in games.
You will not be missed.
It's been 7 years since Borderlands 2, everybody. It's been a long time.
It was Borderlands and Saints Row 4?
One of the Saints Rows. Because there's a dubstep gun in that game.
That's a gun. RPG? Ninja something something?
Oh, right. Ninja Murder Death Party. Yeah. So, yes, I've been playing Sekiro still, so that's still going on. That thing. So, after having sequence broken the game and was playing through random stuff that I probably wasn't supposed to, because I was just doing stuff and going around and killing bosses and getting all powerful for no reason before I got to get back to that one guy who cut my arm off at the beginning of the game. And then I got to that guy and then I murdered him because sweet vengeance. Sweet, sweet vengeance.
Was that the end? Did you finish it?
Are
you
done? That is, in fact, only the apparently the beginning of the game. Because...
Wow, now I'm glad I stopped, because if that happened to me, I might have been angry. I've been like, I'm the champion, Tiger did it, I'm invincible, woo, I'm king of the world. Surprise! And like some screen popped up of like, guess what, mother effer? I'm like, no, Tiger, it, sad.
You have just reached the title screen.
Why?
Wait, is this like the part in Bloodborne where you see the spiders that were everywhere?
Oh, this. Oh yeah, I forgot about that thing happening. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Kind of like that.
Congratulations, like, yeah, you have started the game. I what?
Yeah, because in that game, it's like, yeah, you go through all of this stuff, killing all these bosses, going through all these towns and all this stuff, and then it's like, oh, you've just begun. Now you can also see all these Cthulhus everywhere because they're everywhere. So that was a fun time. That was a fun time. So yeah, it's kind of like that. Because like once you beat that guy, I mean, technically, a lot of the stuff I did was what you're supposed to do after you have already beaten him. But I sequence broke it. So I just kind of did a bunch of stuff to begin with. But apparently there's a lot of stuff that doesn't unlock until after you beat him. So because you need like certain people don't give you keys and stuff to other parts of the world until after he's dead. So you have to do that. And then after that point, then you have to do, because now there's like missions to go gather special items for your Shinobi Lord guy. Because he's asking you to help him on his noble quest to stop the rottingness of his land. So you have to, you have to stop the Cthulhus, because apparently that's a thing. Apparently that's a thing. So, because like there's like some weird thing going on with his blood or something that that's the reason why you have the ability to resurrect, is because of his blood. And then, but the problem is whenever you, apparently anytime you resurrect, it causes, like, whenever you run out of resurrections, it draws on the life force from other people. So it causes, like, it's causing like some weird kind of stagnation and life force in the world, because you keep on drawing the life force because you have your Lord's blood in you too. So it's like anytime you're resurrecting, you're like drawing on the life force. And there's actually a mechanic in the game for that too. That's like people get what's called dragon rot. So if you die too much, like a notice will come up on the side, like, so the lost child got dragon rot or something. And then it, like, sometimes it'll be like a whole list of people. Sometimes it's only one person. What? So,
is that only like, after you finish the first part? Cause in the first part I was getting the dragon rot thingy, but then there's also that item that would cleanse it.
You can cure it, but you actually, well, that the item that you get initially can't cleanse it on its own. You actually have to wait to a certain point where you can gather a sample from somebody who has it, and then Emma will make a charm for it, and then you have to combine both of them in order to cleanse the actual sickness itself. And then so you have to save the peoples from that thing. So now you're on a noble quest to help him kind of sever this connection, because if you don't, you're going to keep sucking the life force out of the world, and that would be bad, because, you know, life force is kind of necessary to live, because it's called life force. So once you beat the guy who cut off your arm, that's pretty much like the starting point of all of this. So then you have missions and stuff to do to go gather these things, fight more bosses, and hopefully save the world or make it worse, because there's probably a bad ending in this game because it's a From Software game, so there's multiple endings that usual probably. So just don't
suck the life force from the planet. You are the darkest timeline.
Exactly. You were the nexus for the darkest timeline. So in order to prevent that, you have to help him out. So I'm currently doing that now, because after I beat him and it was telling me all the stuff, I started going around and I got the keys and stuff I needed to go to other places. So I just got my final Shinobi tool. So now I'm just doing the upgrade paths for those. And then, I'm going around and doing my ninja death party. So it looks like at this point, because after I already talked or did a couple other things and talked to him, apparently Shinobi started to invade the world as well, because reasons, I guess. So now there's harder enemies in place of the old ones. Mm. And half of them are ninjas like you. So yeah, fun times.
So basically, are they all like the same, or they can just like parry, do all the stuff you do too? Or is it just look like ninjas?
It's, wait, because I'm trying to see. How far did you get? It's because I'm trying to figure out.
I got to the mountains with the guns, those things. Or the gun people. There was a bridge. There was like a boss, like, or some boss or something, like right before, but I ran right past him to see if I could like not die and get across it, but I got shot and I was like, yeah, I'm done. And that's where I stopped. It was like right after the castle part with the weird bird people that are on the roof, and then you go through the building that has like people in it, and then there's like a path that
with
like the cannon people too.
Oh yeah, actually, that you would have if you would have passed that area, and then, well, if you would have had to get through that entire area, and then you actually would have got to him. So there's that. But there's like because I'm trying to think if you would have fought, you know, the guy that's guarding the Mistraven ninja tool.
The what?
There's a ninja tool that lets you teleport. Did you ever get that?
Nope.
Oh. Well then, never mind. But yeah, there's like there's a ninja guy like him. They're like all over the place now, and they're basically like little mini bosses. Actually, there is a actual boss that is basically a super version of them, which is super fun. But that aside, so yeah, they're like, because they can do all kinds of fun stuff like flying kicks and parrying you and blocking and jumping around and slashing like psychos. You know, the fun stuff.
That sounds lovely.
It is. It is
just the best. I mean, it's possible I fought that boss and he killed me. I don't know who you're talking about, but I don't think it was a boss that killed me.
No, you would have bad guy. No, you didn't get to him at that, because you would have had to go down to the other area that's next to the area you were talking about before you would have met him. So you did not. You had a
I'm just like, I could see
that. You would not have had a fun time then, so because it gets worse.
Good thing you did, because it only got worse from there, buddy.
It did. It did. Because if you would have actually gotten past the place where the guys are on the roof, there's that level right after that, there's like these blue samurai guys.
Well, I got past that part because I got through the building, and then I went down through the building, and then I got to the caves with the mountain people with guns, and then I couldn't get past the bridge. So I was like, well.
Oh wait, you were in the snow level thing?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's probably why you couldn't get past it. You weren't supposed to be there. So that's probably why. So yes, because I did go through there during my sequence breaking, and I mean, yeah, I killed everybody there because murder party.
Yeah, because that was where the like lady with the candles at, right?
Huh?
Like the ladies with the candles or whatever.
Yeah, because the building you would have went through. Yeah, because it would have been the blue samurai, and then the lady that calls them if she spots you. Thing. So I'm guessing you fell down that hole then.
Yes.
And then you went through. Yeah, if you would have kept going through, because you had to actually get through that part to go up to the dojo, and then you would have fought one boss, and then you would have fought the Genichiro guy who after that. But yeah, if you fall through the hole. So yeah, I know what you're talking about now, but yeah, you probably shouldn't have been where you were. That's why you did
Well, there's a building with doors, so you know. Clearly I chose the wrong one, because me and doors, yeah.
And door strikes again. Oops. Yes. Yeah, because they actually introduced a new enemy in that level when you would have been going through it, which is the one with the shotgun cannon thing, which is not pleasant to fight against if you are not properly prepared for it. So, good job on that, I guess, because... Yeah.
It is really crazy to hear that, like, the end of the story that starts at the beginning of the game is the midpoint of the game.
It's only the beginning.
Yeah, because, like...
It gets worse. The game.
Like, what you're describing now, doesn't that sound like, if not a sequel, DLC? And yet it's not. It's included with
the game.
Yeah, the first game. The main
game. That's one of the things with the whole Soulsborne Sekiro series. Oh god, that's gonna get annoying once they keep releasing games. But it's like, is that you get to these points where things like you're just like, oh, I'm making all this progress, and then you'll get to like one major point, and then it's like everything will just turn on its head, and it's like, LOLs, the game is just beginning. Now you have to actually explore and do stuff. So yeah, so there's always that kind of stuff going on, because their DLC tends to just be like random add-on stuff. Like you pretty much don't really need to get it unless you really, really want to. So. So yeah, there's more game to go, because that's a thing.
It's really neat.
So now the world is invaded by shinobi. So that's a thing now. But the guy that I work with was telling me it gets worse, and I was like, that's fine. It's all fine. So apparently the world of Sekiro, which is like steamrolling towards the darkest timeline of its own. So yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. It's gonna be a fun time. So yeah, I pretty much just been playing that. I don't think I really have any games until June at this point now. So it's probably for the best that this is gonna last me a little bit, because yeah, it's a while from now, unless something comes out that I don't remember, which is a possibility. So who knows? Who knows? But yes, that's all I've been playing.
Okie dokie. On to middle segment. Hey. You have to play this game, dude. If you play one game before you die, or not before you die, but like if you play one game, it should be this game. I mean, I had another game or another name for that, but she's like, don't say the tokens. So you know, it's like top five. You have to play this game or something. Stop. And then, you know, in my process of like deliberating with myself, I was like, well, I'm kind of on the accessibility train, so I'm thinking, all like, you know, I would have put, you know, I mean, it was hard for me to come up with, like, you know, when there's like so many good Mario games, it's like, you know, Mario 3 versus Super Mario World versus Super Mario 64 versus Galaxy, and I haven't even played Odyssey yet. So I was like, that would be a waste to have like all these games on one list. It's like there can be only one. That would be a waste of the one slot. So let's get to delegating. Voice in my head. And I was like, well, Mario 3, time limit. Super Mario World, time limit. 64, no time limit. Galaxy, no time limit. And I was like, why would I care? And I was like, well, what if someone playing and like they just want to have fun? They don't want to worry about time limits and stuff. And I was like, you know what? Voice in my head. That's a good call. I thoroughly enjoy your input of the whole time mechanic. And we're going to strike Mario 3 as much as it hurts my heart. Super Mario World also, strike from the list. And then, you know.
You could always keep them on the list and just, see, the thing is with this whole segment, which this is why I didn't want to do the whole top five thing, is that there's, because, you're limiting yourself by it, because there's a lot of games that are like kind of like those games you should play, because they're like one of those great games in their respective genre, but there's like there could be multiple games like that. So there's no point in like limiting. Just
yeah,
jump up in there and just go all in.
I like to make lists so that I can like only have the best ones that make it, and be like, at the end of the day, only the best made it.
No,
not everybody's gonna Not everybody survives in the NRPG or in the zombie apocalypse. Only the few that are worthy will make it through the day.
Or people who are just really good with guns.
Well, so for me, when I first read it, I was like, "Oh, cool, that's an interesting topic." And then I was like, "Wait, this is really hard because it depends on what you're trying to do, right?"
I knew Tropical would have like a weird curveball to this.
Yep,
I knew it
exactly.
I knew it. So basically, Tropical, because you're Tropical, it was basically just like, you know, if you could just like say, if like, basically it's kind of like when someone's like asking for recommendations on games and like, oh man, what should I play? Or like, I don't know everything to play. Or like, I mean, that's like one way to go about it. Another way is like, you know, if you like video games, you have to play, or not you have to play, but you should definitely check out these games is like another way to look at it. Because like in my list, I was like, I went from like, I kind of like did like a reverse Tekken where it's like, I didn't go with like the super duper story time. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Because Mass Effect isn't on the list. I was like, all right, well, FN.
So Mass Effect is not on the list?
Yes. Because originally it was, but then I was like deliberating, and I was like, there's a lot of talking in that game, a lot of shooting, a lot of action, there's a lot of things in that game, a lot of downtime. They might not get through the Citadel. It could happen. So let's not do that. And then I was like, okay, fine ways in my head. You can have Mass Effect, and if we're going this route, let's add some more funness to this. And I was like, you're right. What's a fun game? And then that's like weird, because like after the whole like deliberation over like time limits, I was like, oh, like, you know what? I'm not gonna have anything on here that's time limits, because time limits are lame. Like, nobody wants to play a game with time. I mean, okay, that's not true. But like, if I'm gonna recommend a game to somebody, I don't want them to be sitting there and then being like, and just like, you know, the time just like constantly against you, like as it counts down and it runs down, like you fell. And it's like, eh. This is also why. Yeah,
but that could still be a game that they should play, so they kind of get an understanding of, you know, games in that type of, you know,
okay, play, okay, maybe, style. Going, maybe in the future then I will not do top five lists, but like, you know, in my brain it's like when I make a top five list, it's like only the best of the best make it. So it's like I gotta just deliberate with myself and be like, okay, what's gonna make it, what's not gonna make it, this, which is also why, you know, Telltale Games made the list, because I was like, okay, well, Detroit Become Human is like the best Quantic Dream game ever, and like in my opinion, if you have like the two schools of like, well, I guess only one school existing now, but whatever, of like styles, where you're like, we have like fail states and like states where you can like restart, and it's like, you know, stuff goes down, but then you can like be like, oh, you died, but retry the section, like in Walking Dead. But in Quantic Dream style, it's just like, you know, whatever happens, happens, dude. And it's just like go, 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 and like, boom, you shot someone, but you weren't supposed to shoot them. We're like, you got killed or you died. It's like, oh, it's not the end if you die. It's like, it just keeps going. The story just adapts to your playstyle, like even better than Telltale game. It's just like, oh. And then what started this whole weirdness was like, I saw a tweet from Goals Interactive, and it was like, blah, 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 FMV games are back. And I was like, you know, everybody I've shown this game to is like, this game is amazing. And like, okay, that's my, maybe like an exaggeration, but like, you know, it's just like really easy to get into, easy to play, and just like it flows very well. And it's like, I think I would recommend this game to like anybody, because it's just like entertaining, it is fun, and it is just very simple, and just like whatever to it, just jump in and go. And I was like, that's kind of like not really the nature of games anymore. It's like you don't really just like pick up and play anymore. And I was like, and I was like, are there any other games like that I play that are just like of that caliber, of just like that good, but like also that simple, just you can just like jump up, or not jump up, you can just jump into the game, pick it up and play, have a good time, and it's a fun ride. So that was like the top, or that was the first one. I was like, yeah, Late Shift, you made the list, because that it, you had anybody that's like basically, okay, so anybody listening to the podcast right now, like, this is taken speaking from his soul of like, you need to play this game if you've not played this game, because it's amazing and you'll have fun and you'll enjoy it. And if not, that's cool too, whatever. But like, you know, this is my personal picks of games I would totally say you need to play, or you should play, you should check out for sure. So that made the list.
The must, yeah, have list.
And then next one, I was like, what's another, like, you know, then like I was thinking in my brain, I was like, you know what? I think this is like gonna work if I just don't pick story games, because it's like this is like a fun game. Like a fun gameplay first, and like, I mean, stories is like, you know, whatever, but like people don't have fun when they're playing games. It's like, I mean, sure, it's like that's like not the main thing, that's like one of many things, but it's like when you're having fun, it's like that's the best thing. So it's like or it's like, you know, it's a balance, whatever. Whatever, man. This is like, this is not the day to like, you know, have this fight with yourself over Tekken. So the next game, I was like, what's another game like that? And I was like, oh, Katamari Damacy, because you just like roll a ball of crap and just like build it up into the moon. And just, it's the fun in like the King of the Cosmos. He gets drunk and it's like, ho, fun, yeah. And like, the music's great. It's a fun game. I was like, yeah, that's a good one too. And I was like, And then I had a problem, because I was like, well, there are a lot of JRPGs out there. There are a lot of fighting games out there. There are a lot of like weird 2D shooters out there. And I was like, this is going to be a problem. So that's a lot. And I'm trying to, I had not been corrupted by RPG's train of thought of like, Tekken, you could do more than five. So I was like, top five Tekken. You gotta make it awesome. And like, no filler, all killer. And I was like, well, a lot of cool Japanese games. I like a lot of Japanese games. Going to be hard to like cut down the list of all those Japanese games, especially JRPGs. And so it's like, what's a Japanese game that's got like a lot of Japanese-iness in it, of like all the Japanese-y things, and like does an awesome job of Japanese-iness? And I was like, you know what that game is? Nier Automata. Because, man, have you not played that game? It's got 2D shooting, it's got sweet action, it's got crazy story, it's got oh my gosh, like the characters and Tibby. Oh, I love you, Tibby. Oh, and then you know, just like stuff going on in the world or not, and then like androids and aliens and like all this weird stuff and machines, robots. You know, what is the essence of a soul of a thing and blah, like it's all over the place. It's like the entire spectrum. It's all the Venn diagram. It's all of the circles in the Venn diagram of just like stuff. But that's there because of that. All the Japanese-iness, it just like it represents all of it. Character design, awesome music, and like all the deliciousness that you love of the Japanese awesomeness. And then next one, I was like, what's another sweet fun game? And I was like, well, Jet Card Radio is fun, but it's got a time limit, so what about Jet Set Radio Future? Does it have a time limit? And I was like, oh, let me see. And I like, typed it up. I was like, YouTube, typed it up. And I was like, oh, it doesn't have a time limit. So you made the list, Jet Set Radio Future, because in this one instance, you're actually better than Jet Card Radio, which I usually don't say the case, because it's a whole thing of like, whatever, I'm not going to get into right now, but I do prefer Jet Grind over Jet Set, but it's like, you know, they're so similar. It's like if I had to, you know, take out that time limit, because it just makes it more accessible to someone to be like, oh, let me just jump into this game, push some buttons, like, you know, just pushing buttons on a controller and just having fun, just jumping around, grind square, painting graffiti and doing that stuff, and fun time, great music, cool, cel-shaded awesomeness that you don't get very often at all still. Visually cool like that. And yeah, a golden age before, well, I guess not before, but like, you know, one of the cool games Sega made in their revival that they're still going through, I guess, because it's been a weird time for Sega the last couple years or many years. Anyway, post Dreamcast era. Let's see, that's 3, Late Shift, Near, Jet Set. What were my other two? Hold up. I remember. Okay. What was? Crap. I remember. I went two more.
Oh my gosh! Stop it! Just stop doing everything you're doing. Just let Tropical do some, and then you can get back to you once you figure out your life, because you're rambling anyway.
I'll try to remember.
Well, so yeah, because it was like complicated. And
yes, I would like to also hear how it was a weird way he came up with this.
Yeah, in the end, I decided to say, okay, so like you, I started thinking about accessibility, but I didn't really want to do that because I've done that before, I feel like. And so this time I decided that it would be for a person who is like interested in games, but maybe isn't like in the know, I guess, about how games are right now. And so, in my mind, it's sort of like, this would be a cool, sort of like a 5-course meal, but over a weekend, and you play through these 5 in this order, and it would be like a cool, like, you should play these games. This is like a neat snapshot of like how I think games are now, or, mostly in my mind, it's always like opening a person's eyes to what games are now in case like they don't really know. And so I started off with Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 1, because it's like fairly easy to play, right? But it's sort of, I think most people's impressions of games are like, oh, you run around and you shoot stuff, or you run around and you jump over things, and like narrative is not something that people think of. So, you know, having this where it's like, it's very simple and yet I think very impactful. And Season 1, I think just because it's like, I still think that one maybe was like the best, I guess, for me. Yeah, just how everything turns out is like, yeah, that's really good.
I think that makes sense, because it's like, it's your, when it's your first time going through something, as opposed to like, now you're like seasons in, it's like you kind of know what to expect, so it's even though it's good, it's not like the same kind of magic
that
was when you just played it the first time.
Just like story-wise, I think it, like, because of the way it ties up everything, and it was just like, I mean, I don't know that I expected a season 2 necessarily, except for that tease at the end, but you're just like, you don't know that that's going to be season 2, and so just how it was all resolved is like, yeah, as a complete thing, Telltale, The Walking Dead season one. So you'd start off that as your, what would that be? Appetizer? Salad? Something. The first one. First course.
Oh dear.
Then the second course would be Journey.
The Scarf Monsters.
Scarf Monsters. Yes. From space or something.
it was complicated.
This represents sort of the very artsy style of games, of some games these days, where it is, you know, Telltale's The Walking Dead is very easy to understand. It's like, if you've seen movies, you kind of know what it is, except that you get to play, you get to choose like these things. Whereas Journey is very open to interpretation.
Nah, you guys as are you just heard. Wrong. Guys are just wrong is all.
You know, it there's no words in the game. Everything is sort of mysterious and just like you don't know 100% what exactly it's talking about. Even when other players come in, like if no one told you that those were other players, like you wouldn't even know that. And so yeah, it's just like a cool artsy thing. Also helps you like decompress after after that finale in The Walking Dead. You need something. You need like a buffer before the next thing.
I don't think there's anything that can prepare you for that or relax you from that. It's like, what do you mean?
Yeah, this would be like, I think at the end of this weekend you would be like, wow, I've been through an ordeal, but it was pretty cool. Because like most of these, it's pretty rough. Because like the third thing is so you finish Journey, worse. That's like your salad, okay, and then fish course would, or no, this would be, I don't know,
fish don't have, yeah. Don't have a separate course. Why are you? What's happening right now? What kind of dinner is this?
The third one the
rolls
is
that fatten you up before the meal comes out.
Yes, the third one is Doom 2016, the new one, the one that came out recently, and that seems kind of strange, right? But yeah, I guess it's like while we sort of gravitate more towards these rich narratives and these like very beautiful games, like. Doom is beautiful in its own way. Like it sort of shows how graphics are really crazy good now. And you know, the truth is like a lot of games is still this sort of very just visceral, mindless type shooter type stuff. And so I think like it combines, yeah, that with, you know, very good design of that type and being a really like graphically impressive looking game. Then you move on to the fourth one, which I chose The Last of Us. And I you know, I think these two could be
a lot of emotionally draining
so
games.
You could like you could play The Last of Us first as the third course, and then, you know, again, it's like very beautiful graphics. You know, that's the showcase, essentially. And then also this sort of like pretty intense narrative married, you know, very perfectly with like the game mechanics and what you're asked to do. You know, Uncharted, mechanically, it somehow doesn't, like, we don't think about it that way, but it doesn't really fit, I think, the narrative. The thing that people always bring up is like, oh yeah, Nathan Drake, he's like a cool guy. I would hang out with him. Although he has killed like a lot of people. It's like True Lies. Yes, but they were all bad. It's like, I don't know that that makes as much difference as you think once you, you know, really scale up the numbers.
I mean, in all fairness, it was either going to be him or time. So somebody's going to get him. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess thinking about it now, Last of Us as the third one is probably better. So you play through and it's just like, you know, it's brutal because the world is brutal, and it sort of does make you question this, like, how, what is the cost of survival? And, you know, you get to the end and really can't talk about that, but just like all that. And once again, RPG said, it is emotionally draining. You might be a little angry at the end of Last of Us, and that's why you play Doom as the fourth one, because it's like amazing, sure, you know, very pretty, and you get like there isn't even reloading. So you get to like take out lots of stuff as quickly as you can. And it is very visceral. And yeah, it is the catharsis after The Last of Us. And you probably, you know, you probably still got lingering The Walking Dead in you at that time as well. So it's just like, this would have to be a 3-day weekend, I think. So you finish that. Yeah. You get to the end of Doom and it's like, oh yeah, beat up all that stuff. You need to come down. So for dessert, it is time for Tetris Effect, which is like the most amazing flow game I can think of. It's just like simple, and yet I would play it on easy mode. Normal mode is actually kind of hard unless like you're really good at Tetris from back in the day.
Also play it with VR so you can be in the ocean with the dolphins and be in the the magical desert caravan.
Yeah, that it might be amazing. Better because, you know, the theme of this five course is, you know, sort of like a crash course in modern games, I guess. So VR is definitely a part of that.
Oh.
Or not. You know,
some of mine on the list are
tropicals
from, like,
are modern.
Yeah, because my theme is sort of like, oh, this is what this is. If I told you, it's like, oh, five games that you have to play, and if you told that to me, then I'd be like, okay, so yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily dip into nostalgia stuff, because the target for me when I think about it is someone who's like interested in games but might not necessarily have played any in a while. Because there was a time when everyone played games, apparently. That is no longer the case. Although, maybe it is the case now. So anyway, yeah, Tetris Effect at the end. In VR, then you get to experience the magic of modern-day VR. But even if it's not in VR, you get to see like how simple things, like, it just... The synesthesia of Tetris Effect is just very, it's so perfect. The sound effects that happen when you drop blocks and move blocks around, and sort of the varying of the tempo of the game, so that it's not like it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder, like a lot of game flow is. It's like they go between difficult parts that are more exhilarating because of the music and all this, and then more simpler parts as you like rest. And yeah, it would be kind of like how I thought of this order of playing these five games as well on a cool retreat video game crash course weekend. Yeah, those would be my five.
So Journey, Doom, Last of Us, Tetris Effect. What was the fifth one? Oh, Walking Dead. Okay.
Yep. The Walking Dead.
Good choices, Tropical. I almost picked some of those myself.
Hey, see? It fits, even though it was in my own way of interpreting this question.
Well, I remember my TRPG if you want me to go, or you can go if you want to go.
I mean, I didn't do a top five. Like I told you, I thought I was stupid, so I just had a bunch of different games. But that aside, I also didn't do all modern either, so I'm about to just wreck the whole question, guys. Enjoy. Enjoy. So go ahead, Tekken.
Okay, so I already said Nier, Katamari, and Nier. I'm sorry. Near Katamari and Jet Set Radio. Okay, so the choice for Gideon was Detroit Become Human, because it is, I mean, it's hard for me to choose between like a Telltale game and the like a Quantic Dream game, but like ultimately it came down to the like the Fell State situation, where it's like, you know, you don't, there's no situation where, like, in any of the Quantic Dream games where, like, you can die, you have to, like, restart a section over. It just keeps going. It's like everybody can die, and that's just the story you get. And it's like, you know, it says like all like the game adapts to your choices and situations and telltale games, but like, you know, it's not the ultimate form of it, because I think Quantic Dreams is like, you know, if you're playing and someone dies and the story just keeps going, that's kind of like the ultimate of like, well, we'll see what happens after this. So it's like, I mean, it is like there's like the whole neat thing of like the episodic formula that they have, and like, you know, how will this choice affect that thing in the next thing, or how will this choice affect this, you know, a couple of minutes from now. But like Quantic Dream is like, what you just did will affect something in the game that you're playing right now, somewhere down the road. You don't have to wait until the next episode or the next season. So it's like, oh, it's like, you know, you're gonna, the immediacy of your choices is like more there than waiting a couple episodes later. I guess the time thing is like, you know, a couple hours later versus how far later in a Quantic Dream game, depending on like how long it is. But yeah, that, and just it's such a pretty game, and it's like the perfect time frame for me. It's just like something that's cyberpunk or dystopian future. Just I love that setting, and like the whole getting to get back to the whole near thing of like consciousness, and does this human unit have a soul? You know, just the whole, you know, is it alive? If it can't breathe, even though it has like artificial lungs, and like that doesn't really you know, make it alive when it's breathing with its fake lungs and its fake heart and its fake brain. But like, you know, they all function like they are real, but they're not really, you know, making it.
Wait, why are you referring to them as like fake things? I mean, just because they're not made out of the same stuff we are, they're still the same type of organs.
I'm just saying, dude. I'm just saying, artificial organs, but they keep them alive all the same. So, you know, whatever. But yeah, just like the whole thing, you know. Yeah, is it? Yeah, whatever. That whole thing. It's a whole thing. We go there, but we're not gonna go there. We're not gonna game. So that it's just like a nice thing to ponder upon in our, you know, as we travel through the darkest timeline into a dystopian future that we're currently in. But you know,
Does it make them any less people, Tekken?
I didn't say it did. I'm just saying, you know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Depends on the person that's observing and stuff and their opinion. So. But you know, it maybe they're wrong when they're saying that, and like, you know, you're wrong, like Kirby says, and yeah, how do you feel about that? So they're
people too.
What else? Oh, okay. And then the last game, it's funny because I forgot this, because, you know, the example at the beginning was like Super Mario Galaxy, because ultimately I couldn't choose 64. I mean, I could have, but I didn't, because I can't remember. I haven't gone back and played it, but like, I'm not 100% sure if you can like get through that game without any of the secret blocks or any of like the weird suits that you need, like the still suit or the invisible suit or the cap or any of that weird stuff, to like just play through the game and get to the end. And it's been a long time since I played them. Mm-hmm. And like, I know there's like the one part where like you can drain the lake to get to like the secret room, but it's like just too many secrets in general. It's like, you know, like what if you took all the secrets out and it's like you didn't need the secrets? Then you'd have, you know, something like Galaxy where it's like, you're not going to miss out on something because it's like hidden behind a thing, or like the star descriptions when you go to the stage is like, oh, do this thing. But it's like, that's not very specific, where it's like, oh, I would have never figured that one out or whatever. Whereas in the Galaxy, each one you load in, it's like, oh, it's just going to show you. Or it's like, you know, you're going to get there if you just go down the path and yada, yada, yada. And there's like the cool comments that like make things like super hard or super weird or super fun, where it's like, oh, don't get hit. You have like one hit, you're dead. Or super speed, or super slow, or I don't think super slow is one, but like they're weird stuff that like changes the thing. It's a fun time, fun ride in a Mario game, and like there's so many good ones, it's hard to choose just one. And I haven't played Odyssey, so like I'm gonna put an asterisk here, because like maybe one day when I play Odyssey and I'm like, oh, this is better than Galaxy, and I can be like, this supersedes this, and I invalidate my choice and put this one in here instead, because yeah. But yeah, those are my choices. Got the Nier Automata awesomeness. Got the Jet Set Radio Future awesomeness. Got the Detroit Become Human awesomeness. Super Mario Galaxy. And I always forget the fifth one. That was not the other four. Nier.
Late Jet Shift? Set.
Katamari. That was it. Yeah, oh, Late Shift. There we go. Okay, yeah, and Super Mario Galaxy. Okay, Garpage.
All right. So I kind of just picked a bunch of random games because, again, I don't believe in top list things. They're just meh. So I kind of just went based on, I guess, the way I saw the question was, is like games that provide you with a certain type of experience, I guess, for different types of games or whatever. So I kind of went with that, those kinds of things. So one of the first ones I was thinking of was, well, initially it was Devil May Cry 3, but then I guess since we were doing modern ones, I mean, 5 works as well. But basically the series in general could be kind of like a must play for people who are like into action games. They're kind of like the stylish action games. They kind of like set that mold for people to kind of like, so you can do these kinds of things and, you know, do like interesting things with their battle systems, with doing all the counters and the moves and, you know, having that kind of system in place for their games. So I mean, games have come along since then, like Bayonetta and, I mean, other stuff. I'm assuming I haven't played like a butt ton of these things, but I feel like those, if someone's like interested in, you know, an action game, that would be like one of my first recommendations for anything. From like, yeah, you should definitely play this game then, because it'll scratch so many itches for you to kind of get through those things. And then another one I chose was Until Dawn. When it comes down to like creating a cinematic experience for a game, and that's kind of like one of the first ones that stuck out to me in terms of those type of things, because graphically, like you have the characters that look like they're actors, which is really cool, because it's like you're kind of like, hey, I know that guy, or I know this girl, and it's like I've seen them in things, or you see them after the fact and it's like, oh, you were in that game I played, kind of thing. And then you kind of get to affect the various scenarios that are going on. And then of course, like any good horror movie, there's that twist, because there's always a twist. So it's like those kinds of things where it's like, oh, it starts off as one of those, this is like a teen drama, and the next thing you know, it's like, oh, people are getting murdered, and it's like, oh, there's weird stuff happening. It's like, oh, these other things are happening, and like the whole time it's like a big cinematic experience for the people involved. So it's so that one's one of the ones as well. Now, I was kind of like looking at other genres of things too, but was having like, I guess, trouble deciding, because like my primary play drama or genre is like RPGs. So most of my games would be just a bunch of RPGs if I was just listing things like that. But other than that, post Goldeneye era, I was thinking like something like Borderlands would be, or I guess maybe Borderlands 2, since it's more modern or something for it. As in terms of like the multiplayer shooter type games, they're fun to play with your friends. And then, but on top of that, you have the different classes that you can kind of customize to your own play style. And then there's like the millions of guns that are all like weird and do different things. So it's not like you get bored playing, and you have like, it's so everybody can be like pretty different, even if they're playing like the same characters or anything in their other games and whatnot. So it's a really fun multiplayer shooter without any like kind of red tape around it all over the place, like your current shooters like Destiny and Anthem and things like that. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, this is what multiplayer or multiplayer co-op games can be like, as opposed to having to have a paywall that keeps you from playing with your friends, or some kind of like crap that it's like just in the way that just makes things not fun. It's like you can pick up, you can play, you guys can just have fun, and then just, you know, get crazy with it, and you know, you don't have to worry about having to be throwing your controllers at walls and stuff. So so that was another one.
And the PS4 version allows 4-player split screen. Yay.
Also, the PS4 version allows 4-player split screen. So there's also that fun time. And then, wait, I had another one, but it was a portable game. I can't remember which one it was.
The World Ends With You?
Yes, that's what I was just about to say. It's like, had to be one of the Square Enix ones. So yes, The World Ends With You. So this is probably one of my favorite games in general, let alone as a recommendation for people, because one, it's just a really cool game in general in terms of like the story and the characters and everything, and even the battle system and stuff. Because I mean, even though it's like an action RPG, there's like so much other stuff going on. And I think one of the cool things about this or that particular game is that it kind of showed off the hardware that it was on. So it like actually made use of the whole double screen mechanic and things like that. So you can kind of like do the different things and like have like the two partners and everything that's going on. And it's like, one of my biggest issues with having played a game like that, and then it's like, you don't see that kind of stuff in other games. And it's like, now that I think about it, it's like, oh, other developers don't necessarily always use the hardware interestingly for the things they do. So it's like, for me, The World Ends With You was like really cool because it showed off the hardware that it was on, and it's like something that more games should do, but unfortunately they don't. I mean, I know Nintendo has done things like with Phantom Hourglass, where it's like you can solve like some of the puzzles by using the DS's mechanics too, like closing it to like press the paper thing and like solve puzzles and stuff. And see, and there's games like that where it's like, I would love to see more things like that. But you don't necessarily see that kind of thing anymore. So it's it's kind of sad, but yes, I would definitely say The World Ends With You would be one of those things that I would definitely recommend. And then now I was kind of iffy on this one, but the XCOM series of games, they're definitely not for everybody. I'm not going to say they're probably not, but they definitely aren't for everybody. But it's one of those things, like, if you, I thought they would be, it would be interesting for people to play in terms of like, if you want to play a game that kind of makes you think about your actions before you do them, then that series is probably going to be the one to do it. But the only drawback is going to be like, it can be frustrating because you make the wrong move and you just lost very important people. It's like, you spent 10 hours building up this guy into a super soldier. Well, guess what? He died, and now you don't have him anymore. So you should have thought about that before you went rushing head in into that battle. So it's one of those things, like, kind of makes you, it's like, hey, be careful about what you're doing. Think about what you're doing before you do it, and don't just kind of rush in kind of thing. So it kind of teaches you. It's one of those lesson games, so you don't just go doing stupid stuff, because it can backfire horribly. It can backfire horribly. So don't do that. Let's see. And then I was debating between which Final Fantasy I was going to put on this list, but then I was like, you know what? It's fine. So I ended up going with 9, because it's kind of like their most classic RPG style since 10 ended up changing like the battle system completely, and then you had the MMO right after that, so things kind of like changed a lot since that one. So it was more like a golden era for classic RPGs, so for somebody who's kind of like looking for that nostalgia and you know, just something that'll kind of tug at your heartstrings as you play through and learn about stuff, and then you can kind of do that, because I mean the game since then have become a bit more action oriented and a bit darker, and it kind of not the lighthearted happiness that it used to be. So it's like, if you can I would probably say that would be, if I had to play at least one of them, I would definitely say to play 9. And then there are a couple of other ones in the series I would recommend, but I would definitely say that one would be one of the ones to go with for that. And then I think I had Mario Kart on this list too for kart racers, because I'm not a huge fan of racing games, but when it comes down to playing a racing game, if I had to choose anything, it's going to be a Mario Kart game, because one, they're fun. Again, same thing like with the whole Borderlands thing, where it's like, if you're playing with your friends, it's like no hassle. You can kind of just jump in, play, enjoy yourself, and then, you know, have fun on the various tracks, playing with the different items and everything. And it also does have like an arena mode if you guys are wanting to do those kinds of things. But they're just fun, and then you have all your favorite characters around to kind of just play around with the different stuff that's going on. So it's nothing like too like technical, where I haven't played like Gran Turismo in like forever, so I mean, but it's like things that you don't have to like overly tweak like your wheels and stuff in other racing games and worry about all this extra stuff. I mean, you do have to change like your, I guess, the body of your car and stuff, but it's not as like in depth as you would get with like other stuff. So you can still kind of like pick up and enjoy and just have fun with your friends and yeah, do that kind of thing. So there's that as well. But yeah, that was most of my list, but
yay! I don't think we had any duplicate choices. That was pretty cool.
I know. We now have a giant list.
17 games
to give out to the people.
Aimless recommends you should play.
I really want to like try my 5-game course now and see what it feels like.
Chopper was gonna come back next week and be like, "So guys, I'm seeing a therapist now because I did this course thing. I was emotionally wrecked. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway."
Two that I feel are intensely sad, one intensely confusing and possibly profound, one like intensely violent. Yeah, I think I'll set aside a 3-day weekend and do it and see what it's like.
I'm going to come back and be like, "So it turns out you'll need more than 3 days."
Probably.
Because I did not get through all like 5 games in 3 days. Yeah, modern games, I don't think that's how that works, but you know, have fun, Tropical.
I mean, Journey and Tetris are one sitting.
Oh, good point.
The Walking Dead, I think, is like 10 hours, right?
It should be less than 10. It's like an hour or like 90 minutes an episode. Maybe like more for the last episode.
And then
it's due for a day.
Doom, I think, wasn't that long. I think those other two, well, especially because I've played The Last of Us before, like it's probably around 10 each. So, whew. Yeah, those are tough days. Anyway, let's do some RRR for the week. Rapid release responses. You get 10 words to intrigue us with your title, and 10 words from your description to intrigue us.
Can you do it?
Can you do it? Yes, that's the question. So let's start April 10th, today. A game called Royal Roads. The magical journey awaits you with this time management strategy.
That doesn't sound fun. Time management?
It does not sound
time
fun.
Time management? Like, that sounds like a job. Pass. Hard
pass on that.
Alrighty. Tomorrow, April 11th, starting off with Earth Defense Force Iron Rain. The EDF series moves away from its traditional series and...
Ooh, so now not only is the game completely different, I know nothing about it because you didn't do it right. Get it together, developers, or review sites.
They even shortened it to EDF, and it was, like, not enough. This one is called Shadowgate. Shadowgate is one of the most well-known and beloved point-and-click.
Wow.
Is it, though? Wow. Is it one of the most beloved point-and-click?
I knew it was right out of words, and I'm just like... It's like you're well-known and beloved, but I've never heard of you. So that's a strike one. And then you end off with point and click, and it's like, I don't like point and click games. So,
aww.
I mean, adventure games are okay, but it's like, point and click adventure games feel a bit archaic. No thanks.
Not a fan. But I mean, I guess it kind of depends on what kind. Because I mean, I play visual novels, so I mean, it's not going to be like a huge deal. But I point and click games usually visually don't like look fun for me, so I don't tend to like gravitate towards them. So I'm like, eh, hard pass, I guess.
Oh, and three, April 12th. Start off with Constructor Plus. Take on the role of a budding property developer and...
It's like, okay, so are you building buildings or are you building property? It's like, description didn't really... You're a property person, but what are you building? I don't know. No, thank you. Property developer.
Huh.
In one building? Set of buildings? An area? I don't know because you didn't tell me. So, yeah.
RPG?
Nope.
All right. Then we got Dark Quest 2. Dark Quest 2 is a turn-based RPG inspired by...
What? Okay, see, that's a loaded you know, sentence there, because it's like, what are you inspired by? That could, like, you know, determine on whether I am really high or low on this game, and I don't know. So, yeah.
That's one of those cases where they shouldn't have included the title in the first 10 words of the description.
Yes. And Dark Quest sounds so generic. It's like, well, that doesn't help me at all. So.
You know, I'm just thinking that it's like some labyrinth thing, dungeon crawler, first person, like Etrian's Odyssey or something, where it's like, no thanks, I don't like those games, because you're in a dark place. Literally dark place. You cannot see. That's all that comes to my mind. So I'm like, left my own devices. That is a pass.
Not enough. April 16th. Now we're now 0 for 5. April 16th, Tuesday, starts off with Ghost Giant. In Ghost Giant, you are the protector of the lonely.
What?
Oh, there's so much potential here. And then it's like the lonely. What is the lonely? Is it like a smaller group of creatures that you protect? I don't know. Is it? It's like that was where I was hoping it was going, and it just says the lonely. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
Ghost Giant. Is it just like one entity? Man. Yeah, see, two more words, and, like, this is what we're saying. You don't need your title in your description, because no one is ever going to see this description without the title.
Exactly. It's like, I wonder which game this is for.
This isn't Jeopardy.
Although that would be hilarious.
Then we have something called Heaven's Vault. The search for a missing roboticist leads archaeologist Alia Alastra? That wasn't a question. Alastra.
Oh, I'm confused. It's like, I don't know.
I mean, it sounds neat, but what's the genre?
Adventure.
I have a feeling this isn't a Telltale-style adventure game, though. And they, like, left out point and click from the first 10 words on purpose to trick me, because I'm like, well, if I was going to the sky to like investigate something, that sounds fun. But then it's like, what if it plays lame? Cause it's a point and click game tech, and it's like, yeah, it probably is. Pass.
It's an archaeologist looking for a roboticist.
That sounds so cool.
Who's missing?
Dawn.
I guess we'll add that to the kiss of death genre, to the roguelike. Tower defense, yeah, point and click. You're there now. Have fun.
So if you're point and click, it may not be your description. It's just the wrong audience here. RPG, Heaven's Vault?
Nah.
No?
Nah, brah.
All right.
Nah, brah.
World War Z. Humanity is on the brink of extinction from New York.
That's so funny, because it makes it sound like New York is
causing the... New York, I knew you were going to be the death of us, but...
I only know about this because I saw the last trailer that actually had like game mechanics in it and looks decent, but it's like, it looks like too much of a Left 4 Dead clone, but like not as good. So...
It seemed very Left 4 Dead. Which
it's like weird
cool,
though, because they had like a stealth element, and I was like, this seems weird and unnecessary, but I guess whatever set you apart.
It basically had the same it had the zombie director Yeah. And it had the like hunter basically specialty, and the boomer. Yeah,
specialty zombies. I thought that was neat, but then I was like, this is probably not as good as it delivered. Because that was the other game from the Golden Age. That was like, oh man, why are there more of these? And we never got them, and now we have one, and I'm like super skeptical because it's like those games are hard to make because that's what Valve says. That's why they don't make anymore. So I'm not going to take that chance, World War Z, because I cautiously optimistic, and I'll have someone else take that bullet for me. Sorry.
RPG?
No. I don't need this game in my life. Because I just don't. I know of the movie and all that other stuff, so oh good. Right. Good.
Then my time in Portia. Start a new life in the enchanting town of Portia. Exclamation.
That was not good. That was not good. It's basically
title in the sentence. It's title in sentence form.
Basically. So it's like, I mean, so yeah, that was not good.
Take in?
No, thanks.
All right. And then finally, we got Table of Tales, The Crooked Crown, an RPG adventure that brings tabletop gaming to life in.
Ooh, this sounds neat.
Wait, I think I've, no, that's a different one I'm thinking of. That's the pen and paper one, pin and swords or whatever it's
but
called.
Now it's like, how does it play? Is it turn-based? If it's not turn-based, you can get the F out of here with that.
Oh my, stop the violence. What is it called again?
Table of Tales, The Crooked Crown.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds interesting. Oh. I mean, I've always...
Is the genre just RPG tropical?
Yeah, it says RPG adventure.
No thanks.
I think I'm interested in this, but we'll see. Because, I mean, I don't know much about it or what it looks like or how I play it, so...
Cool.
Yeah, because it would be, like, cool if it was, like, either really good or just, like, did a good job of, what's that word? Adapting something from a tabletop to a RPG style on a game. Because you can just use that template for other games, like or other board games like that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's it for the next 6 days of releases. Looks like two of them were, or one of them was interesting enough, maybe, and then another one was another maybe. So Heaven's Vault, Table of Tales, The Crooked Crown, doing something right there, at least for this limited purpose. And who knows how the games are going to be, but yeah, that was RRR. We're moving on to the news now. I basically only had one news story, which was that PSN names can now be changed with many possible conditions and caveats. So the procedure is pretty simple. Go to settings in on your PS4, account management, dig down into the menus until you get to online ID, and then you can change your ID to whatever. Follow the prompts. You can also do it through a web browser, similar type situation.
There could be consequences. Yeah.
Well, so first of all, you can't do it on PS3 or Vita, so you can only do it on a web browser or a PS4. The first change is free, but the second change costs $9.99, unless you're a PS Plus member, in which case costs $4.99. There are no limits to the number of times you can change as far as the just system is concerned. Account. Yeah, it's like how much you're willing to pay. And so that's kind of, you know, expected stuff. What's unexpected is that you get to keep all of your past names and you can revert to them for free. So, you know, if you change your name 4 times, no one else can take those 4 names. They're just like locked out, I guess, because the original owner of those names can revert to them whenever they want by calling customer service. So that's kind of weird. back during the beta, it was leaked that there was like a lot of possible downsides to doing this. However it is that they made PlayStation Network, it was never designed for this. So they listed things like, oh, you might lose game access. You might lose game progress. You might lose parts of games. You might see your own, your old online ID appear in games that aren't supported. And yeah, apparently there's a bunch of games that aren't supported. Although we did kind of learn stuff, like originally they had said, okay, games that were published on or after April 1st, 2018 will work with this. Anything before that, you'll have to check their list of tested games and basically try your luck. When they rolled it out today, they added a condition, though. Because, so, you know, from this, we know that April 1st, 2018 was when they had a system that was in place to support name changes. And they gave it out to developers, and then everyone, you know, presumably developed off of that. And so they thought, okay, prior to April 1st, who knows? But after April 1st, everything should be fine. They'll all work. They have discovered that that is not the case. At least one game doesn't work 100% with name changes. And so now they're like, so now their April 1st like cutoff date is just sort of maybe. We can't say 100% sure that everything after April 1st will work because of one game that they know doesn't. And so there may be other ones. Yeah. I don't know who is going to take advantage of this, because you would not be taking advantage of it. You may be taken advantage of. It seems really risky to just change your PSN ID. And then, did I say I only had one news story?
You did.
I did. I have like a rumor. Or no, it's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. It's an announcement of an announcement. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to do that one. But it's pretty cool. And maybe people, if they listen to it, to this, or are listening now, then it's something they may want to know. Respawn is going to be showing Jedi Fallen Order, the Star Wars game that they're working on, this weekend, Saturday, midday in the Americas, from Star Wars Celebration, which is going on this weekend in Chicago. So that will be our first look at the only non-Battlefront game that is Star Wars coming from EA. So pretty exciting. And yeah, that's the news I have. Was there anything big that I missed?
Not that I know of.
Tekken?
Yes.
Did I miss anything?
I didn't really take. I mean, no, not that I can think of. I did. I mean, there was like something about the Dragon Age thing, but it's like whatever, dude. It's not confirmed, so
yeah. There was a, I guess, a big debate online about game difficulty this week.
Oh, that was hasn't that been going on for just this week? Because I feel like it's been longer than that. It must just be because I keep seeing it.
Yeah, I think it's just like this is the most recent recurrence of the debate. Like at one point it was when Cuphead came out. They did it at that time. And I think one of the earlier Souls games I think had it too. But yeah, it's happened again. People on both sides, some people saying,
oh crap, I turned my volume down.
Playing easy means you're like robbing yourself of the game or something. And other people are like, easy is the only way that many people will be able to experience these games at all. So,
or like me, if I don't have time and I'm like, I don't have time to slog through this Resident Evil 2, I need to get through you so I can get DMC when that comes out and play through that. Sorry, I'll come back. You know, geez. Not everybody has the time to throw themselves willy-nilly into some experience like that. And or like, when they're getting beat down, be like, oh man, I have to start all the way over. Oh.
There's just so many aspects of a game that can be enjoyed. Like, you don't necessarily want to be challenged mechanically. Maybe you just want to see what happens in this game. Or you just want to admire the environments.
Or get through to experience the story and not have to worry about the hard parts of the game. Playing it. It's a nice breeze and a nice walk through the park. It's great.
We're all on the easy side, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know I am.
Easy mode is good. So yeah, I guess that's it then. Thank you for listening if you're out there right now or in the future. That we're speaking to right now. We're speaking to the future. Check us out. Download podcasts. aimlesspodcast.com. Follow us on the social medias. Twitter. And YouTube and Twitch have those little buttons for subscribing as well.
Okie dokie. Podcast in the can. Anything to say before we sign off, RPG?
Banana rockets.
This one was 420, if you're into that.
Oh my gosh. All right, so yeah, Aimless Babble Z. And we're now signing off. Thanks for listening. Yippee skippy.